Good morning, everyone. Today is the 10th of July, 2020. I hope you all are having a good week so far. And I'm working back through this book again, God Does Not Love Everyone, but He Does Love His Elect from Everlasting to Everlasting. When I was writing this book, the goal was to exalt Jesus Christ and His Father and the Holy Spirit and His eternal kingdom, to show that He has purpose, an eternal purpose in all things, and that He has a people that have been chosen before the foundation of the world and showered with His grace. Chapter 3 is entitled God's Supremacy is Certain. God's supremacy is certain. When God speaks, He makes it very clear who He is and the absolute power He has over His creation. Since it's early in the morning, bear with me as I drink my first cup of coffee. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding, who hath laid the measures thereof? If thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake? Forth as it had issued out of the womb, when I made the cloud the garment thereof, thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and brake up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the dayspring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked their light is withholden, the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof, that thou shouldst take it to the bound thereof? And that thou shouldest know the paths of the house thereof. Knowest thou it because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By that way is the light parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth. Who hath divided a water course for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth, where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man? To satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth. Hath the rain a father? Or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of water may cover thee? Waters may cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings, that they may go and say unto thee, Here we are? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom, or who can stay the bottles of heaven? I just read from Job 38:1 through 37. Well, God continued to make his case to Job regarding his almighty, omnipotent power. In chapter 40, when he said, Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Job 40, verse 2. It is very interesting to see Job's response to God. Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Job 40, verses 3 through 5. The reason that I'm spending so much time in Job is this: it clearly shows us the relationship between the creature, Job, and the Creator, God, and who is holding all the cards. The Lord continues, Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. Job 41:11. So how did this conversation come to a conclusion between Job and God? Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. That should be our response to God, should it not? I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. By now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Should that not be every one of us? Should that not be every one of us? Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job 42, 1 through 6. This should be our response to God. To our Creator. But many don't have this response. Many mock, ridicule, and blaspheme his holy name. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalm 1, 4 through 6. Why is this the case? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Excuse me, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they, all they, that put their trust in him. Psalm 2, 1 through 12. Well, you know, as we move on through the Bible, we find that in the Psalms, God's attributes are clearly demonstrated. The Psalms are a tremendous record of great spiritual truth for all of God's people. They not only provide comfort for the discouraged and downhearted, but they also provide strong, clear, and concise doctrine for God's elect. Many of the Psalms point to Christ and actually exalt and exemplify him. They speak of God's attributes, his character, and his omnipotence. Psalm 8 exalts Christ in his name and shows him as the one who ruleth over all of his creation. To the chief musician upon Gittith, the Psalm of David, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea, O Lord, our Lord. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. Psalm 8, 1 through 9. When the psalmist declares that thou hast put all things under his feet, that means all things, not some things. Psalm 10:16 tells us the Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Psalm 11:5-6 says the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares and fire and brimstone and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up, his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device which they are not able to perform. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Psalm 28, 8 through 12. So where do these theologians and Bible scholars ever get the idea that God loves everyone? They certainly do not get it from the Bible. Those for whom were chosen before the foundation of the world, and those whom were quickened and born again by the Spirit of God, and those for whom Christ died, are the only ones that God loves. In Psalm 28, 8 through 9, we read, "The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, and lift them up forever." This does speak of a particular people, and not all men without exception, does it not? The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. In contrast, we see in Psalm 29:11, "The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." Psalm 30, verse 16. We are not to be overly concerned with evildoers, because we know that God will show his wrath upon them. Psalm 37, 1, 2, 9, and 13. The Psalm of David, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming." So we can conclude that God has an elect chosen people, and a people who never have been a part of the elect family of God. Well, we will continue this tomorrow. We're ready for chapter 5. And it just does me good to work through this to show the absolute sovereignty of God in all things. There's great, it's a great thing to read his word, and it's so different than what we get from the pulpits today. We don't hear his word read like that in major portions of scripture, do we? I want to conclude this morning's broadcast with last night I was talking to a good friend of mine, Walt Stickle, and we were talking about how that it appears that the United States is going down pretty fast. And we have to be reminded and return to the bishop of our soul, don't we? And I ask Walt permission to read this poem, which has helped me through the years. The strength of knowing the power of God in creation and also in redemption. And I've entitled this, "Creation is a Wonder of Your Might." When I awake at early dawn and the sunlight glimmers on my face, Father, I then know that creation is a wonder of your might. Welcome aboard, Vinay Kumar Gadam. Glad to have you with us. And we will remember you and the school in prayer as well. When my heart feels the comfort of your Spirit's wooing, I want to thank you for your amazing grace. When the flowers bend their heads, waving to me at sunrise, Father, I then know that creation is a wonder of your might. When I remember resurrection morning, your Son rising from the dead, I want to thank you for your glory fills the skies. When I see the robin, the redbird, and the dove waking to a new day, Father, I then know that creation is a wonder of your mind. Knowing that Christ is seated at your right hand, I know someday I to paradise will take my flight. When the squirrels rise early playing in the trees, Father, I know that creation is a wonder of your might. I then know that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Thank you again for your love shown on Calvary. When I see and hear the waters of a creek on the mountainside, Father, I then know that creation is a wonder of your might. And the water and the blood that flowed from your riven side reminds me to be so thankful for the day for me you died. And in the early evening when the sun begins to set, Father, I then know that creation is a wonder of your might. As the cool breeze blows and the robin returns unto her nest, the rest I have in Christ, your perfect sacrifice was met. When I see the fawn by the road peering through the trees, Father, I then know that creation is a wonder of your might. And I see her mother not very far away, once again the great shepherd beckons me to my knees. When this old world with all its sin is burnt up and destroyed, Father, I then know that creation is a wonder of your might. As a new Jerusalem descends from heaven with wonder and delight, what marvels await for me in this new city, I am told. Father, I then will know that creation is a wonder of your might. I'll live in a city where I'll never grow old, and I'll forever thank you for the sweetest story ever told. May the good Lord be with you today in a special way is my prayer. God bless.